Ladies, God bless you. You know, you can appreciate a song like that when you realize what the Lord's done for you, where He's brought you from, and what direction He's taking you to. You know, and just like the song said, it doesn't matter what storms come your way, you still have a foundation of a solid rock. You still have a pavilion of the grace of God to run to. And thank God. You know what? That's what I'm saying this morning, folks. People without Jesus Christ, how do they face life? How do they face the turmoils? How do they face the difficulties without somewhere to go with their heart's problems and their needs? Well, God bless you for being here. Take your Bible, if you would, please, this morning. Turn to Daniel chapter number 6. I want to read to you one of the most familiar Bible stories in all the Bible. You know, this great story of Daniel and the den of lions is probably one of the most familiar stories in all the Bible. There's been hundreds and hundreds of children's storybooks written about Daniel and the lion's den. I cannot tell you how many times that when I tucked my children in bed and they wanted to me to tell them a bedtime story, I used this story. And of course, you know how we are as parents. We kind of like to throw our version of the story in, and we like to enhance it a little bit, you know. And so what I want to do this morning, if you will allow me, I want to read the story before us from Scripture, and then I want you to be kind of that audience as though I was telling you this story, and I want you to get a hold of a truth this morning that I think we can learn from this very, very familiar story. Would you stand with me, Daniel chapter 6, begin reading with me in verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever." Now what they were doing is they were buttering him up right here. Okay, that's what they were doing. They went in and said, "Oh, we love you. Man, you're the best king that's ever ruled over us." They said, all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree, and whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not charged, or that it be not charged according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree, nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He stayed up all night. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. You notice he said basically the same thing that these cockroaches that came to him trying to get this decree signed, they basically said the same thing. They said, O king, everything's fine down here in these den of lions. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. I want you to look at verse 24. Things are about to change. The king then commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones into pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. And I want to take this story, and I want to convey a truth to you this morning. And I want to talk to you about a contrast of interests. A contrast of interests. Now, Father, we're grateful to be able to open the Word of God up and read it this morning. Would you bless our time? Open our hearts to this truth today, and we'll give you the glory for what you shall do in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and you can be seated. A contrast to exhibit differences of interest or concerns or involvement. Here we have a total contrast of interest between two parties here. The story that is before us, as I've said today, has been told thousands and thousands of times in homes. Many of you in this congregation have told it many times to your children. You know, there's so many truths and so many principles that can be learned from this story, not that are just valuable for children, but for adults as well. You see, the facts of the story, when we talk about Daniel and the den of lions, and everybody understands there's a big difference between a den of lions and a lion's den. You see, a den of lions means they're there. A lion's den means they may not or may be there or not. But in this case, it was a den of lions. They were there. And in this story, let me help you to bring you up to date. Daniel was living in captivity under the rule of King Darius, who was the king of the Medes and the Persians. And because of Daniel's excellent spirit and the evidence of God's power on him, Darius put Daniel as the chief president over all the kingdom. Well, this appointment made these other presidents and princes over these other provinces angry and jealous. And you know why? Because they pointed out the fact. Did you notice they said this Daniel, who is of Judah, they made a point to point out he ain't one of us. And you put him, and you ought to have known he was going to do this. So they begin to point out that Daniel wasn't one of them. And these evil princes couldn't bring accusation against Daniel's character. They couldn't bring accusation against his integrity. So they adjusted their attention toward his God. Now I want you to listen very carefully to me this morning. Evil men have no power to close down Christianity. They have no power to shut the doors of the church. So what they've done, just like they did in Daniel's day, they've adjusted their attention toward our God. And so what they figured out, all right, since we cannot get Daniel condemned on his character and integrity, then what we'll do is we'll remove his God. We'll attack his God. And then we'll get him in a place where he will then be cast into the den of lions. But may I say to you this morning, congregation, listen to me. God has been removed from our government. God's commandments have been removed from all the public places of in our government. They're trying to remove God from our minds. It's the same philosophy that these presidents and princes used against Daniel. They're not going to just bust into the church today and run everybody out. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to remove God from the minds of the people. Therefore, if you remove God from the minds of the people, then nobody cares about God, so then nobody wants to come to church, right? You see, Satan is very subtle. And it's the same tactic that these men used against Daniel. They've moved public prayer from our public schools. They've outlawed the Bible from our classrooms. They've attempted to remove God from the pledge to our flag or from all of our currency. Some cities have even passed ordinances to keep people from going door to door or passing out religious literature. You see, they can't just attack the church. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to condemn the God of the church, so that any violation of this then leads to the den of lions for the people of God. You see, all these people did was set Daniel up. Listen to me, folks. We need to wake up, get our head out of the sand. Listen to me. Evil men of our day are trying to set us up. You hear me? They're trying to set us up because they ultimately want us to the den of lions. And you know what? Ultimately, that's where they want to cast us into. So we've got to be wise about these tactics. We've got to be wise about these situations. You see, this same angle has been used over and over and over. I'm telling you, evil men are plotting against the people of God as we speak today. Now, in our story, you have several characters. First of all, you have Darius. Bless his heart. Darius was a good old boy. He loved Daniel, but he is naive as the day is long. And he let these guys come in and talk him into making a decree and tried to use various tactics in order to get him to sign this decree, and he did it. I mean, boy, he got tricked into this. So he makes this decree ignorantly. But then you have also in our story, Daniel, the believer, the one who lives for God, who trusts God. But then in our story, you have these presidents and princes. These are the evil men. These are men without God in their life. These are the men that are trying to attack the believers and trying to attack the things of God. And then the last group that we find in our story today is not just Darius, not just Daniel, not just the princes and the princes, but the fourth group that we're going to look at this morning are the lions. You see, our story, what would it be with Daniel and the den of lions if we didn't talk about the lions? They are part of the story as well. You see, so I want to take these characters this morning, particularly Daniel, particularly the presidents and the princes, and particularly the lions, and I want to look at these things this morning and help us to see a very, very simple truth today. First of all, I want to talk about Daniel the believer. You know, there's two groups of people here today. There's believers and unbelievers, right? Everybody's going to fall into one of the categories that I'm talking about this morning. It's believers or unbelievers. Daniel was a believer. The Bible says he has an excellent spirit. Turn, if you would, look at verse number 10. The scripture says, "And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house." And if you'll notice the last part of that verse, he did as he had done aforetime. Did a decree make any difference to him? It didn't make any difference to him. May I say to you, I don't care what's being passed. I don't care what laws are being passed. Let me tell you something. To the people of God, it shouldn't make no difference. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we ought to stand up and vote these rascals out of office that are attacking the church of the people of God. Hey, I'm just telling you, there are people out there that today they wouldn't shed one tear if you got cast into the den of lions. Matter of fact, they'd be there to yelp and yell and cheer your death. You say, oh, are there people, Brother Todd, that are that vicious? Hey, folks, lost people are their father, the devil. And of the works of their father, they shall do. He doesn't care about your soul. The devil doesn't care about your life. You see, Daniel, the believer, hey, he knew of the den of lions, didn't he? Hey, this wasn't something, oh, there's a den of lions. No, he knew there was a den of lions. Hey, he knew that people were thrown in, and he knew why they were thrown in. Hey, he knew that no one was exempt from the den of lions if they disobeyed the king. He also knew that what the end result was for those who were cast into the den of lions. He understood that they were consumed. He understood that they were destroyed. But may I ask you this morning, listen to me. Did he go back on his faith? Did he know there was a den of lions? Did he know the possibility he could be thrown into that den of lions? Did he know what happened to people that were thrown into the den of lions? Did it change his attitude at all? Not one bit. So folks, why are we biting our nails off? Huh? Why are we so afraid of what men can do to us? Hey, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Hey, I'm just here to tell you, we're talking about a believer here. He didn't back down just because government stood up and said, you can't do this anymore. And by the way, did you notice what they attacked? They attacked his prayer life. You cannot be praying publicly anymore. You can't be doing this anymore. If there would have been a full canon of scriptures, they'd have told him, you can't read your Bible anymore. You see, he was a believer. He knew all of this. See, Daniel knew that even with the decree passed prohibiting his worship and freedom of religion to continue, the violation, to violate it, and to violate the king's decree was instantly cast into the den of lions. He knew that. Now, if you're a believer here this morning, I want you to listen to me. One of the things that we've learned from history is history always repeats itself. Amen. It always repeats itself, right? Guess what they used to do to Christians in the first centuries? You know what they used to do to them? Feed them to the lions. You say, where? You ever wonder what that Roman Colosseum was all about? Hey, what I'm saying to you folks, that's what they used to do to believers. They used to throw them to the lions. And I'm here to tell you today, you say, oh my goodness, you mean the lions are going to come after us? They may not come after you as a roaring lion, but let me tell you something. The devil's got something prepared. And he's just waiting. Oh yeah, you know what he's going to do? He's going to fool some of our politicians. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to vote for something that's going to be anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, and then guess what are we going to have to decide to do? We're going to have to decide to either stick with the stuff or not. That's what we're going to have to decide. You say, oh, but we might get thrown to the lions. So what? So I just don't want to die that way. Hey, dead's dead, folks. And what better way to go than to die for Christ? I'm telling you, say, oh, preacher, you're nuts. I'm telling you, we're coming back to that day. And the people of God are going to have to stand up or not stand up. I'm telling you, folks, there is a contrast of interest here. The believer and the evil men. The believer and the unbeliever. Like oil and water don't mix. And what I'm saying to you this morning is Daniel, he already knew about the lion's den. He already knew about these things. You say, well, what made him different? Let me give you a couple things to think about Daniel. First of all, he was committed to God. He was committed to God. You know what he did when the decree was made? When he knew that it was signed, was Darius his friend? Uh-huh. Yeah, he's a friend. When he knew his friend had signed a decree against him that could cause him to die, he went into his house and he did what he had done aforetime. Why? Commitment. Folks, I'm just telling you, I wonder if we had a group bust in through the doors today and say, stop reading the Bible, stop preaching, you're all under arrest. I wonder how many of us would try to head and bust out these exits here and run. I wonder how many of us would try to get away. See, the thing is, folks, we've got to be committed. Daniel was committed to the cause, so when he knew the decree was signed, did it make any difference to him? Nah, it made no difference to him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm praying just like I've always prayed. Not once, not twice, three times a day I'm going to pray. Now I want you to notice something else. Not only was he committed, he was confident. Folks, listen to me. He didn't go into a secret place and find a place to hide and get in there and shut the door so nobody could see. No, when he went to his house, he opened the windows. Hey, you know what? Here I am. Come get me. But I'm not changing. I don't care how many decrees you sign. I don't care how many laws. I don't care how many ordinances you pass. You know what I'm going to do? I'm still going to pass out tracts. I'm still going to talk about Christ. Pass all the ordinances you want. So I'll write you a ticket. Then write me a ticket. There's some things, dear friend, that supersede men. Oh, this is getting scary. You don't think Daniel knew there was a lion's den waiting for him? Yeah, he knew. But he was a believer. He was committed. He was confident, folks. He opened the windows. So not only was he committed to his God, not only was he confident in his God, listen to me, he was close to his God. Three times a day, he opened those windows and prayed. Remember those cockroaches I was talking about just a moment ago? Isn't it amazing how they always seem to come out when the lights are down? Isn't it amazing how that's when they seem to get in the cabinets, and when you cut the light on, you know what they do? They scatter. It's because that's what they are. It's their nature. Cockroaches. So you know what they did? Here's Daniel. He opens his window up. Here they are. You see anything? I don't know. I think he's going down. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's praying. And so I'm sure that they did everything they could to get as close a look as they could possibly get. But he was close to his God. You see, he understood. He understood the will and the plan of God. Psalm 56, verse number 11 says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Psalm chapter 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do to me? They can throw you to the den of lions and you'll die. Well, I'm just going to heaven. What's so bad about that? Oh, but I just don't want to die that way. Okay. He understood there was a den of lions. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, folks, I don't know if you know, when I got saved, you know what? I won. You're looking at a winner. I'm not a loser. I won. You know why? Because when I got into the family of God, I got on the winning side. Amen. And all I'm telling you today is that Daniel was in part of that family. And although Daniel was a believer, he was not exempt from the evil tax of unbelieving men. He was accused, he was abused, he was misused, and then when he got thrown into the den of lions and he didn't die, everybody was confused. I don't understand. All the other people we've ever thrown in here, we couldn't find enough to put in a thimble. And this man says, hey, I'm all right. Go ahead and tote me up. Yeah, I'm fine. And Darius says, bring him up, bring him up, bring him up. I want to see it. And they bring him up. He's like, he's all there. Now, wait a minute. Did you notice that prior of Daniel going into that den of lions, Darius had already said, your God will deliver thee. I think somewhere along the line he had seen something. There was something different about this guy. You know what was different about him? He was a believer. Are we not supposed to be peculiar people? Are we not supposed to be different? Are we not supposed to be a good testimony for Christ? You see, Daniel was face to face with temptation, and the temptation was, am I going to serve God or not? Hey, everybody gets put in a pickle every now and then, don't they? All of us get cornered about our faith from time to time. You know what? We're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to serve God or are we going to suffer the consequences? Hey, he faced a temptation. Am I going to lash out against these guys or am I not going to lash out against them? And by the way, you know what? He could have ripped them up one side and down the other. But we don't have any record in Scripture where he ever said anything negative against these guys. Now, that ought to be a lesson for us, folks, because you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion that if he had an excellent spirit, he probably had a forgiving spirit as well. And he probably forgave these guys for what they did, and God delivered him out of that den of lions. And when he got up, hey, listen, he just left it all up into God's hands, because God, when vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, he can do it, and when he does it the right way. See, Daniel was tempted face to face with it. He could have lashed out, but he didn't. Oh, look at this. He could have accused God of not being fair. I just don't understand, God. You're not fair. Didn't you see me? I prayed 3 times, even though I knew the decree was signed. You're just not fair. And folks, I want you to listen to me. God's not into being fair. God's into being just. And we've got to trust Him that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Here's a man that, you know what, I didn't hear him complain one time that God was unfair. I didn't hear him lash out at one of these guys. I didn't hear him say one negative thing. I didn't even hear him say when he come up out of that den of lions and say, Darius, he didn't grab that king and say, listen, you put me down here, that scared me to death. He didn't do any of that. Not one thing. But you know what, you think he was tempted too? Of course, because he was subject to temptation just like us. But when Daniel was cast into the den of sin, it had no negative effect on him. Let me say that again. When Daniel, a righteous man of an excellent spirit, was thrown into a situation that all of this could have happened, he could have griped while he was down. I'm telling you, if he had hit the bottom of that lion's den and said, you sorry friend, I hate your guts, he'd have been lunch. I'm telling you, he would have been. You know what he would have been? He would have been out of commission, but he didn't do any of that. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. You see, when Daniel was cast into that den of lions, no negative effect on him. He believed God. He knew God was able to deliver him. Listen to 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm here to tell you, you know what? God's able. He's able to deliver you out of your den of lions. No matter where you get, who cast you in there, he's able to deliver you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Listen to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. The scripture says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hey, same God yesterday, today, forever. Same God that delivered Daniel. You know what he can do for you? He can deliver you as well. Now, that's Daniel the believer. Let me just take just a second and talk to you about these cockroaches just a minute, okay? Let me talk to you about the evil men that because of jealousy, because of hatred, because of the king. By the way, didn't the king get to choose who he put in place of power and who he didn't? Yeah. Isn't it amazing how we always have people that are always griping at leadership or always griping at authority because they put people in place that they have the right to put in place. You know what we do? We yell. We scream. And what was happening here is these men, the king says, Daniel, I know you're not of us. I know you're not a Persian. I know you're not a Mede. I know you're not one of these people. But you know what? You've got an excellent spirit, and I see in you something I don't see in these other guys. You see, these men always opposing truth. Evil men always oppose truth. Some will even be aggressive to try to discredit believers. Many are jealous of believers, of a believer's success or the peace that they have. But I'm here to tell evil men today, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You think these old boys ever thought for one second? Boy, they had the perfect plan, didn't they? Can I say to you also, Haman thought he had a perfect plan too. Isn't it amazing the very thing that many times that we try to do evil against someone, God uses that and comes right back to us. And I mean, the next thing we know, I mean, as soon as it comes, we see that freight train coming, we're like, oh man, it's supposed to be going the other way. And you're on the tracks, tied up. But there ain't nobody coming to rescue you. And there's a train coming. Where's your hero? You see, the thing about it is the only person the evil man has to call on because out of his evil hearts is of his father. And you know what? His father ain't going to come rescue him because that's what his father wanted for him, to die. And here are these men. They had the perfect plan. Oh, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, these men, listen to me carefully. They had a choice, did they not, in their actions. They didn't have to do this. They chose to be this way. They chose to take these actions. Hey, they never thought about being cast into the den of lions because if they thought that there was any chance that they could have been cast in, they'd have never gone through with this. It never entered their mind. Can I say there's some people here this morning, you've lived life, and it's never even crossed your mind about hell. Hell's never crossed your mind. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. Well, you know what? I was pretty good as well. But until I found Jesus Christ, good will get a person just as quick into the lake of fire as anything else. Because what we do is we fool ourselves into thinking that being good is the way to heaven, and it's not, folks. Salvation is not doing things. It's in a person. And what I want to say to you here is these men, they had a choice. Listen to me. You have a choice this morning. You can choose heaven or you can choose the den of lions. They had a choice. They never thought about it. I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. Think about it. You're a soul. You will live forever somewhere. Problem is they made no preparations for the den of lions. They didn't have a plan B. There was no plan B. So when this thing backfired on them, just like people who think you've got to work yourself to heaven when they die, you know what it's going to do? It's going to backfire. And there's no plan B, folks. There is no other way. There's no way to opt out. There's no way after death say, I changed my mind. Can't change your mind after you're dead. Can you imagine these old boys? Here's King Darius. He says, gather them up, boys. It's supper time. Listen, folks, they didn't just gather these presidents and princes up. They gathered their spouses, their children, and they threw them all in there. So don't tell me that your choices don't affect other people. You see, while these evil men were doing this, you know what Mama was probably doing? Mama was probably home cooking pancakes for the kids. Mama was probably home maybe preparing a meal or sewing or ironing the clothes. She had no idea what was going on. Next thing she hears at the door, open up. Yes, who is it? We're here by the decree of the king. Open up. She opens up. They reach there and grab her, the kids, the baby, everything. Let's go. Where are we going? I'll show you. Your husband's been a naughty boy. Your husband's made a decision that's about to cost you everything. You listen to me, mamas and daddies. I'm not trying to be unkind. But if you're not going to follow Christ, don't hinder your kids from following Christ. If you don't want to be saved, don't stop your kids from being saved. At least let them come to Christ if they want to come. Don't take them with you. And here are these men, these evil men, destructive. They desired Daniel to be thrown into that den of lions. You see, their decision against God cost others their soul. You see, when cast into the den of lions, it was too late. When they cast them into the den of lions, did you notice the Bible says the lions didn't even weigh? They didn't even make it to the bottom. When they threw them in, it was like, you ever gone out to the pond and thrown bread on the water and watched the fish come up and hit the bread? That's what it was like when they cast these people in. The lions didn't even wait for them to hit the bottom. They were jumping up to get them. You say, that's terrible. Hell's worse. It's worse. These people, once they were thrown in, they could not change their mind. John wrote in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May I say in conclusion this morning, both went into the den of lions. Two separate results, though. One was a believer, one was an unbeliever. Sin had no effect on the believer. Just like, folks, remember when Paul wrote, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because one day, the sting of sin and death will have no victory. It will have no effect on the believer. That's the reason when Daniel was cast into that den of lions, he was there all night. And the angel of God shut the mouths of the lions. I wonder how many times God's done that for you and you didn't even know it. I wonder how many times Satan had something so wicked and so evil for you to cast you into a situation, and in that situation, God closed the mouth of the lions. And you were able to survive it. But see, these other people, these other men, these unbelievers, when they were cast into the den of lions, totally different result. The result was they lost their soul. It was all over. And once they went in, it was too late. Let me make an appeal to you this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, make the decision now. Don't go to the den of lions. Because once you go in, there's no getting out. Once you go into the lake of fire, there is no escape. Once you die, there's no turning back. But I'm here to tell you, contrast of interest, believer, unbeliever. One was committed, one was confident, one was close with God, had a relationship with God. Did the den of lions have effect on him? The others had none of that. Did the den of lions have an effect on them? Absolutely. They were torn to shreds. Don't let that be your life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning would say, preach, I